The east nave was empty and little used. We had asked the older Fras and Soors why. They'd give a wave of the hand and explain that it was the Minster's formal entrance. If so, it was so formal that no one knew what to do with it. At one time, a pipe organ had stood there, but this had been ripped out in the second sack, and later improvements of the discipline had banned all other musical instruments. When my crop had been younger, Orlo had strung us along for several years, telling us there was talk of making it a sanctuary for 10,000-year Fras, if the consent of St. Edhar ever got round to building a map for such. A proposal was submitted to the millenarians 689 years ago, he'd say, and their response is expected in another 311. The south nave was reserved for the centenarians, who could reach it by strolling across their half of the meadow. It was much too big for them. We tenors, who had to cram ourselves into a much smaller space just next to it, had been annoyed by this fact for more than 3,000 years. The west nave had the best stained glass windows and the finest stone carving, because it was used by the Unarians, who were by far the best endowed of all the maths. But there were easily enough of them to fill the place up, and so we didn't resent their having so much space. There remained four screen walls of the chancel, northeast, southeast, southwest, and northwest, that were the same size and shape as the four that lay in the cardinal directions, but that were not connected to proper naves. On the dark sides of these screens lay the four corners of the minster, cluttered by structural works that were inconvenient for humans, but necessary for the whole thing to remain standing. Our corner, on the southwest, was by far the most crowded of these, since there were about 300 tenors. Our space had therefore been expanded by a couple of side towers that bulged out from the walls of the minster and accounted for its obvious asymmetry in that corner. The northwest corner connected to the primate's compound and was used only by him, his guests, the wardens, and other hierarchs, so there was no crowding there. The southeast corner was for the thousanders. It connected directly to their fantastical hand-carved stone staircase, which zoomed, veered, and rambled down the face of their crag. The northeastern corner, directly across from us, was reserved for the Eta. Their portal communicated directly with their covered slum, which filled the area between that side of the minster and the natural stone cliff that, in that zone, formed the consent's outer wall. A tunnel supposedly gave them access to the subterranean workings of the clock, which it was their duty to tend. But this, like most of our information concerning the Eta, was little better than folklore. So, there were eight ways into the minster, if one only counted the formal portals. But Mathic architecture was nothing if not complicated, and so there were also any number of smaller doors, rarely used and barely known about, except by inquisitive Fids. I shuffled through the clover as quickly as I could without stepping on any bees. Even so, I made better time than those on the seven stairs and soon reached the meadow door, which was set into a masonry arch that had been grafted onto the native rock. A flight of stone steps took me up to the level of the minster's main floor. I dodged through a series of odd, mean little storerooms where vestments and ceremonial objects were kept when out of season. Then I came out into that architectural hodgepodge that we tenors used in place of a nave. Incoming Fras and Soors obstructed me. But there were lanes of open space wherever the view was obstructed by a pillar. Planted in one of those lanes, right up against the base of a pillar, was our wardrobe. Most of its contents had been dumped out onto the floor. Fra Jezri and Fra Arcibald were standing nearby, already swathed in scarlet and looking irritated. Fra Leo was swimming through silk, trying to find his favorite robe. I dropped to one knee and found something in my size among the ones he had discarded. I threw it on, tied it, and made sure it wouldn't get in the way of my feet, then fell in behind Jezri and Arcibald. A moment later, Leo came up and stood too close behind me. We came out from the shadow of that pillar and threaded our way through the crowd toward the screen, following Jezri, who wasn't afraid to use his elbows. But it wasn't that crowded. Only about half of the tenors had shown up today. The rest were busy getting ready for Appert. Our Fras and Soors were seated before the screen in tiered rows. Those in the front sat on the floor. The next row sat on their spheres, head-sized. Those behind them had made their spheres larger. In the back row, the spheres were taller than those who sat on them, stretched out like huge filmy balloons, and the only thing that kept them from rolling about and spilling people onto the stone was that they were all packed in together between the walls, like eggs in a box. Grand Fra Mentaxin pulled open the little door that penetrated our screen. He was very old, and we were pretty sure that doing this every day was the only thing that kept him alive. Each of us stepped into a tray of powdered rosin so that his feet could better grip the floor.